Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Combination of goodies because we have a rare combination of good people here. Are you ready for the DJV program this hour? Presented by Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Jay Kirshner. We've all gathered together for your benefit, right? In the clubhouse with all the really cool people. This is the answer part of the day. You have a question? We have answers. The question is, Jennifer, what's going on with the trial, the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis? I see the police chief testified, right, didn't he?
Yeah, I think yesterday was the best day for prosecutors so far. Remember last week they focused a lot on what happened, and just by judging what they presented, there was still, I mean, you kind of put yourself in the position of the juror, and you say, their goal is to say without beyond a shadow of a doubt that Derek Chauvin's knee on the neck of George Floyd was his cause of death. And last week, I think I talked about it wasn't hitting those markers at that point, but yesterday, they had the focus was on two witnesses. The first was a doctor who did not necessarily treat George Floyd, but was the receiving doctor of George Floyd when he came in from the hospital. So he is looking at the reports of the paramedics. The reason I say this is that there could be holes poked into it by the defense, people who actually examined George Floyd. But so far, he said that he believed that George Floyd died of oxygen deprivation, which before there had been no bruising on the neck. There had been no evidence that he died from asphyxiation because he had this lethal amount of drugs in his system. So yesterday was pretty compelling testimony for the prosecution because this doctor believes at least that it was oxygen deprivation that may have triggered the death of George Floyd. His name was Dr. Bradford Langfield, and he testified first during the day. Then Chief Arredondo, who we've seen a lot of on TV when Minneapolis was burning, you saw a lot of Madaria Arredondo, who came out as the head of the Minneapolis Police Department and testified about the training. Because again, last week there was, I think, the lead homicide detective who said that this was beyond training, but then when cross-examined by the defense said, well, no, maybe it's not. So that wasn't very great testimony for the prosecution. But Arredondo yesterday said that there was no training that would have told him to hold that chokehold for as long as he did. He said it was not de-escalation, which is what the Minneapolis police are supposed to be trained to do first and foremost. He said that the repeated cries of distress, the I can't breathe, should have stopped then Officer Chauvin from completing that hold. So I think yesterday may be the most compelling day so far for the prosecution, who's trying to make the case that it was Derek Chauvin who killed George Floyd. I think Arredondo's testimony, really powerful, to say that he should have responded to his distress calls and that he should have been there to de-escalate. I think that is going to be pretty meaningful moving forward.
Yeah. Does it sound very technical, or is that how you get things done? You have to have all the technical sides covered.
I mean, that's the point I was making when we were talking about this last week. I'm trying to take myself out of it. Everybody has the feelings when they watch this video. It's horrific. Mm-hmm. So you have to realize that the prosecution is trying to prove a second-degree murder charge, second-degree manslaughter, and third-degree murder. So what do they have to do to prove those things? What is the jury going to be told to watch out for? And last week, as emotional as those videos are, could you say beyond a reasonable doubt that it was Derek Chauvin's knee at the neck of George Floyd that killed him? And last week, quite honestly, they didn't have it. They were focused more on the emotions of the video and people on the side talking about how awful it looked. But I think to this week, the prosecution's job is now to say how it's legally applicable. At least that's what they say that their focus is. And I think at least yesterday with their testimony, I think they're off to a good start in trying to figure out how the jury can apply these charges to Derek Chauvin. So we'll see what happens. Again, they're not done yet. They're calling more witnesses today.
All right. Most of the major news sites have the focus on Derek Chauvin. But I'm wondering about listeners and the person on the street. Jay, when you look over the trending things today and over the last week or so, how much of a factor is listeners or viewers or people who are, you know, into maybe the news, how much of a factor is this in what people are actually thinking or saying? Is there a lot of attention being given? Is there a lot of interest in this? Or is it sort of like the hardcore newsies and that's about it? The average person on the street, do you think he or she cares?
Yeah, this is definitely one of the top trending stories. I mean, this case is massive across the board, not just the big newsies. It's everybody who is interested.
Okay. All right. Now, that under that circumstance, I think you pay a lot of attention.
I think one of my biggest complaints, forget our people who are paying attention or, you know, people that listen to this program or the normal public paying attention. I mean, think about the jury. The jury is unsequestered. So they're supposed to be avoiding all this coverage, which is really difficult to do. But the amount of pressure on them, I think, is ridiculous because they know that if it's innocent, then the city's going to burn. The country's going to burn. And hearing people, like we talked about Congresswoman Karen Bass and some of these other people, talking heads on TV, saying that we're just searching for the right outcome or that we have to show... Well, exactly. I mean, you can't say that.
Accountability is what she means. Because so many... How many stories where a cop shoots a black man and the cop walks without any charges? It's just... Breonna Taylor, there's no
reason... That has nothing to do with this case. And we have to... That was my point last week, is we have to be really...
I get that, but that's when people say, when people talk about the outcome, that's what so many people are sick and tired of hearing, the
but
same
it's emotional
old story.
Thinking. Yeah, see, and that's the problem that's going to just fire people up. When you have Karen Bass going, we have to deliver the right outcome, well, you haven't even heard the details of the case yet. Ilhan Omar this weekend was saying, we have to deliver the right outcome, but I haven't watched the trial very much, she said. Right. So it's like...
She's a waste of time. I wouldn't pay any attention to what
well,
she's...
Well, separate from...
Take a breath.
Right, but separate from those, from Omar, you know, taking up space and being an oxygen thief, right, the rest of the country, people who are concerned about this, I mean, that's what, like, I talk about with my family and my friends. How many times have we said on this show, there's another police shooting involving a black man and no accountability on the part of the police? So when we talk about an outcome, I mean, I wouldn't use that word, but I would certainly say I hope for the correct verdict because we're
sick
and tired of not...
But if you haven't watching the trial, how do you know what the correct verdict is? Because the correct verdict... So this is what I'm getting at. If he died from an overdose, which is what some of the defense poked holes in the prosecution
theory.
My point
then
so
is,
if he died of an overdose, why would somebody go to jail for that?
I get all that. What I'm saying, though, is...
I mean, I don't see how you...
But you don't know, Doug. That's what I'm saying. We have to watch the trial.
I'm hopeful...
I'm not watching the trial.
...that accountability will finally take place. And I...
What if accountability... What if he died of an overdose? Then who's accountable for that?
At what point do we get the gist of what... Is the public that wrong... Is the perception that wrong? Are
the
police always right?
No, I'm saying in this case, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I think coming out and
doing what's
happening is really dangerous because you haven't followed all the details of the case yet. So what if it is compelling enough evidence to say that this guy died of an overdose?
You get that.
And it wasn't.
That.
Okay, so then, let's say they come back with a not guilty verdict. Then what happens?
But what if they do find that he was dying of an overdose? At what point are the police accountable for not helping somebody who was dying
in
the situation?
Is that second-degree murder, Jay? Or is
I don't
negligence?
Know. What are the parameters of second-degree murder?
Second-degree murder means that it's not unintentional. That would be more of a manslaughter charge.
But deliberate.
Second-degree murder is deliberate murder.
Yeah.
Well, and he deliberately kept his knee on his neck, so...
But what if that didn't murder... But the point is, what if that didn't murder him?
All
this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
you have to match the stipulations. That's what I'm saying, because I think it's really dangerous because, look, we have to deal with the rest of the world after this is over. And so we want to make sure that this is right? And I think there are so many people who watch that video and go, and me included, said that doesn't look right. That doesn't feel good. That doesn't look right. Clearly there was something wrong. Now, I think it does that, but is it second-degree murder, I think, is the question. And that's what the defense is going to be trying to cast doubt over. And then if they do we burn the country down?
So this is the story that broke the straw that broke the camel's back. So under the circumstances, there's more attention. Whether that's right or whether it's wrong, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it should be thumbs up or thumbs down, It is an emotional thing that has been flamed by the inappropriate attitude of some police heretofore and some other agencies, and that has caused the Black Lives Matter movement to get to the top. We've gone maybe a little bit too far when it comes to some of the adjustments that have been demanded and that are appropriate in the Black Lives Matter thing. And if you think that's the case now, which is something that I think, and this guy is found not guilty, wait till you watch the rocket go to the moon.
Right. But do you put this guy away if he didn't really kill him? That's the point. That's my argument.
Yes, that's the technical point, and that's the right way to look at it. But under the circumstances, we have allowed this circumstance to get beyond what is reasonable, and so this will be a reaction no matter what. No matter which way this goes, it will be a reaction, an overreaction. We haven't corrected the problem because we haven't really done a lot in society to demand that we have reorganization of public services, not just the police, but the entire thing. And people are frustrated with that because, especially if this thing comes around where tax time will be May 15th this year, not April 15th. So if this thing goes another month and these people decide that he's guilty or they decide he's not guilty, it'll have an impact when people see their tax bills. It's going to start asking, which they ought to be asking all the time, but they don't, unless it's the time they have to actually pay. What are we paying for? What are we getting for our money? We're getting injustice. We're getting lousy service. We're getting inappropriate things being taught to our kids in school. I mean, it's across the board. We don't get the road. It's all of this stuff will explode because people are pissed off in general about pretty much everything. And the satisfaction quotient with government at the moment, especially if you live in places like California, is close to zero. And so all of these things manifest. They come to the surface, and God knows where they go. Yeah, but this is a barometer. I don't think there's any question about that. In the trending, in a moment or two, we find out who won. Was it Gonzaga? Right? Yes? No? Well, I like to say that. I hope they win. No, I just like saying Gonzaga. We're the 18 after the hour. This is the DJB program with Jennifer and Victoria and Jay and Doug. If you want to shed weight and you're married, I think yesterday Victoria took a little exception to me suggesting that she and Lewis probably ought to get on the thing together. And I didn't mean it that way. I'm just suggesting that it's nice.
He totally did, Jen. He's like, a lot of couples have gained weight together. You know, like Lewis.
Is that not true?
Exactly. She and Lewis.
You're the one who said it. I would never have said it.
I didn't say it. You said it.
No, you told me you gained pounds.
I said to you, I said, well, everyone I know has gained a little bit of weight during the pandemic and quarantine, but, you know, you singled us out as, like, the couple that needs to now audition for The Biggest Loser.
Wow.
I mean, it's
tough stuff, Debbie. Come on.
Yeah.
I think sometimes my remarks there's an overreaction to my remarks, but that's okay. I'm making a point. And the point is that if you live together and love together and are getting heavy
and
together,
get fat together,
love pasta together.
Right, yeah, exactly. All of that good stuff. I don't know whether Jay could bring you and your husband. I don't know your husband that well. Did you guys gain weight during the whole... Well, you had a baby. So
yeah, I had a baby. I'm going to write that excuse the whole way.
Yeah, right.
And because I had a baby, of course, my husband gained weight because... Support.
Sympathy, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
He was being a good man.
That's it. All right, so anyway, you all get the point. If you have put on a couple of pounds one way or another, you want to shake them, go to toploss.com and get yourself lined up with Calitrin. If you're on a program now and you want to make sure you keep the weight off, that's another reason to get healthy the right way with Calitrin. The weight loss formula that is so successful, millions of people in our country and around the world now have lost weight and kept it off. It's stimulant-free, it's drug-free, it's just really cool. No more crash diets, that kind of stuff. So join the bandwagon of all the couples, not necessarily like anybody who's on this program, but you know who I mean. Maybe you. If you've gained weight together, lose it together. Good support system, that's it. And there are all kinds of dangers of having too much weight. We all know that. Try it out. Check out toploss.com. And when you check out, you get the BOGO deal with the code DJV, and you don't have to pay for shipping. 21 after the hour.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It is trending time in this hour of the DJV program. Welcome, by the way, to Tuesday, April the 6th, and it's 23 after the hour. Jay is all ready to tell us what happened. Who got taken down last night at the men's NCAA National Championship? So if you're on the edge of your bed, edge of your seat, edge of a cliff, hold on. In a minute, you'll find out who won.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You can save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high-interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Saving the rate with the loans, internal rate, license fees may apply. Call for information and conditions. Equal housing letter, license in all 50 states, and LSCC and access.org, number 330.
All right, let's get at it here. Jay, the honor is yours to tell us who is undefeated or if there is anybody from this season that's undefeated.
Gonzaga, so they wanted to be the first team since Indiana in 1976 to finish the season undefeated, and they did not do it. Baylor Bears beat them 86-70. Took
the
victory.
Pretty good at this, by the way. That was a good response to the cliffhanger. And it's kind of like if you watch To Tell the Truth, when what's-his-face is about ready to get the audience all worked up and the players, who is the real, whatever it is, and then we go to a commercial. And then they come back with it. It's good because it gets people to hold over through the commercials. Thank you very much. All right, anyway, so who deserved to win? People say, well, whoever won deserved to win. And sometimes there are those who are bettors. One wonders about the money on this thing.
Oh,
right?
True. Well, Baylor, I mean, they pretty much sprinted out with a 9-0 lead from the very beginning, and it just seemed like they bested the Bulldogs almost the entire game.
Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
This is the first basketball national title for Baylor in school history.
Is it?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What was the score?
86-70.
It was 86-70.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because when I was looking through the premise, it's 6, and I was like, how did they only score 6?
Nice going, Jennifer.
Like, that's just embarrassing.
That's a really bad game. Only 6 points.
I was trying to think of Anthony Anderson's name. He's the host of To Tell the Truth. All right, Coors. Let's get into this controversy, which has become really very public. The Major League Baseball folks have opted to keep out of Atlanta. One wonders whether that was a smart decision or not. So what's the option? Where are we going?
We are going to Denver. Coors Field is where the All-Star game is going to be held.
I can't believe they're letting that fly. I mean, that seems, you want to talk about racist. You're moving away from a predominantly black community where black-owned businesses would make money from the All-Star game to maybe one of the whitest inner cities that you can get in Denver.
And run a pot and, that weekend.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm surprised people are letting this go without saying something because to me it sounds like
announced.
A racist move from Major League
Baseball.
What
do you get from people? I think you make a good point, Jennifer, but what do folks... where is this going? Is this all political, or what is there some sort of sense to the response to this, Jay?
I feel like everything is political anymore. A lot of people think it's the right call to move it out of Atlanta. A lot of others are, I mean, they agree with you, Jen, where it's like, no, just you should leave it there because it's going to help so many businesses and it's going to help a community.
Yes.
Don't hinder an entire
Colorado
community.
Colorado requires voter ID. They have more restrictive laws than Georgia does. So
isn't that
I don't understand what
huh?
they're doing. I don't understand.
Wow. Say that again. One more time.
They require voter ID in Colorado, so that's more restrictive than what is being proposed in Georgia.
One of the more intelligent things to support,
right.
In fact. But, you know, there are a lot of other things that fly and that can hand a bottle of water to somebody. All right. Well, just proves the country's crazy. 28 after the hour.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. For professional parts people you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Here's today's top automotive tech story on Nick Miles. In an effort to help make our streets safer, Ford is launching a new tool to aid cities using connected vehicle data and artificial intelligence to help build smart and safe transportation systems. Safety Insights is a web-based software tool for transportation planners and engineers from Ford that synchronizes crash data from multiple sources and combines it with Ford's own connected vehicle data. For more automotive tech news, you can go to testmiles.com.
Meet America's first and only hybrid minivan. The Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid delivers up to 32 miles all electric with a total driving range of 520 miles while offering plenty of space. Drive with confidence in the Chrysler Pacifica Hybrid.
Did you know that MyPillow is about more than just a fantastic pillow? Now, MyPillow is given the same attention that they've given their pillows to their towels. The proprietary technology in each MyPillow towel makes them highly absorbent and soft to the touch without that lotiony feel. When you order the 6-piece set, you'll get 2 hand and 2 bath towels, as well as 2 washcloths, plus free shipping. Each 6-piece set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, is machine washable and durable, and comes with a 10-year warranty. If for any reason you're unsatisfied, MyPillow will offer you a 60-day money-back guarantee. Visit MyPillow.com right now to learn more. And right now you can get 2 6-piece sets of MyPillow towels for 1 low price and free shipping. Just use promo code DJV, that's MyPillow.com, code DJV, for 2 6-piece towel sets for 1 low price and free.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Major League Baseball, in a knee-jerk reaction, moved its All-Star game to Colorado after the league announced Friday it was pulling the game out of Atlanta in protest of the state's new voter ID law. It should be noted, Colorado requires voters to present identification when voting. CBS News appears to be stepping back from a hit piece against Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. The report on Sunday outlined an alleged pay-for-play scheme involving DeSantis accepting a $100,000 donation for his campaign from a grocery store chain for the right to distribute the COVID vaccine. Republican and Democrat critics blasted the report for deceptive editing by CBS that omitted DeSantis' explanation for the vaccine strategy. The Texas Rangers welcomed a crowd of at least 38,000 fans to Globe Life Field in Arlington Monday for the team's home opener against the Toronto Blue Jays. The game marked the first full-capacity sporting event since coronavirus shut down all sporting events more than a year ago. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Will Americans be required to get a COVID passport to state the recipient has had the COVID-19 vaccine? Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau has more.
The federal government won't require a COVID vaccination passport, according to the White House chief medical advisor. The concept of a passport in some form to provide proof of a COVID vaccination has been contentious in the last few weeks, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing an executive order banning them in his state. But Dr. Anthony Fauci says that's not something the federal government is planning on requiring for business or travel. He tells Politico that will be left up to private entities.
I do believe that there will be individual entities that will do that. There may be theaters that say you don't get in unless you have proof of vaccination. There may be colleges or other educational institutions that do that. I'm not saying they should or that they would, but I'm saying you could foresee how an independent entity might say, well, we can't be dealing with you unless we know you're vaccinated, but it's not going to be mandated from the federal government.
Critics complain the COVID passport would be a major invasion of privacy. The total market value of cryptocurrencies pushed past $2 trillion for the first time, doubling in about 2 months amid surging institutional demand. Bitcoin is worth more than $1 trillion alone after its price more than doubled in 2021 to $58,858 per coin. Thanks for listening. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Fits together here on the DJV program. Yes, we're great computers. Our minds are like a steel trap for a computer. Jennifer's got a computerized mind. Victoria does. Jay does. And so you have the benefit of all that. Here on the DJV program, we ship you right to the CDC and the COVID story and who's cleaning what. What do we have? New guidance on clean surfaces. The CDC, once again, in the focus because they've changed their mind or not. What do we have for guidance? I love this guidance. Like nobody was smart enough to figure all this stuff out. I love the on the airplane you get on.
But this should be infuriating because how many times have we wiped down groceries? We've wiped down services.
It is.
We've wiped and wiped and wiped. We've worn 15 masks. When are they going to come out and say the masks were just? We're just kidding about the masks.
Well, I think but in fairness, we did not know a lot about this virus a year ago. I mean, we really didn't. We didn't know if it was going to live. Remember, we went back and forth with credit cards or cash money. Is it going to live on? And you know, it's. I think that we can cut everybody, and including people who've overreacted to this. And like, I mean, I still know people in my life who are disinfecting things and leaving boxes from Amazon in the garage for 5 days. however many times you tell people you don't need to do that anymore, people got into the habit of it, and they are just now doing that. I mean, my parents, I think it's a hobby for my dad, they still wipe down all their groceries. So I'm like, all right, you don't need to do this anymore, guys. But and they're vaccinated now. But I think at this point, they're just so used to doing it that they have a routine. And so, you know, it's just, I don't know. I can cut people some slack on this one. But, yeah, so the new CDC guidelines
are saying. But it just grows. The number of things that are contradictions grows. And that builds people's, you're talking about building immunity. They become cynical about stuff. Well, look, the government.
Well, I think, honestly, people need to have a little more common sense then. And that from the beginning,
absolutely,
we didn't really know. None of us knew. We were all just trying to do the best that we could. You know, we were all trying to keep the elderly and the vulnerable safe.
Fear-based thinking, too.
Yeah, but when you don't know, you don't know. You know, it's just, it's easy. It's like, you know, it's like looking back on, I was watching a documentary on, like, the 90s and AIDS and stuff. And looking back at that, you know, when I was a kid, it was terrifying. You thought AIDS was everywhere. And that no matter what you did, you were going to get it, no matter
let's
what.
Let's go back even
it's
further.
It's like that now. Now,
let's
I have,
go back.
I mean, now I have friends who have been living with HIV for years, and it's not even a thing. You know, so it's...
Back to when I was a youngster, and the movie that's around right now, The Courier, brings back a lot of feelings and memories for people who are my age that lived during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and we were told every week that we had to protect ourselves from a bomb that could come at any moment from the Russians.
My mom and you are the same age. You guys went through, like, those drills in school, right?
Go, we hide under the desk because of a nuclear attack, or under the stairwell, or in the boiler room of the school, because that's where you'd be protected if we had a nuclear attack. I mean, come on.
Right. Okay, but at the time, if they didn't know better, you know, we can look at that now and kind of laugh. But and someday we're going to look back on COVID-19 and we're going to be like, oh, my God, remember disinfecting, you know, your Amazon boxes? Okay, yeah. But at the time, we're only 1 year out, and some people we still don't know a lot about this virus. We know a lot more than we did, but we don't know everything. We don't know how long it's going to be. How many times last year did all of us say, whether it was an astrologer or a shaman or a scientist who said, by Christmas of 2020, this would all be over? Well, here we are. And now it looks like by Christmas of 2021, maybe it'll be over.
Maybe even more, depending on variants.
So I think people need to take a beat and stop trying to blame everybody else. We're all in this together, and we're trying to figure it out as
we
go. I
guess what's frustrating is not that, look, I'm all about it. In fact, that's what I said. Extend people some grace because we're dealing with something new. But the problem is that this junk science, which, you know, how many times do I say science constantly disproves itself?
Yeah.
It's not just being done for people voluntarily in their own life.
Yeah,
I'm sure. It's not being done voluntarily by people. This junk science is being used by governments to shut people down. And I guess what's frustrating to me
is
that they're trying to say, follow the science, you know, in California, and we've got all sorts of weird things happening. I mean, I don't know if you guys
have the
latest. California
has ruined the phrase.
Yeah, but I mean, just the shutdowns, I mean, you've had to deal with them, too, in New York and New Jersey. I mean, there's a lot of junk science
nothing
that
like
was
you
used
guys have had to deal with.
Well, I think that's probably true. But there's been a lot in states across the country used to justify a lot of government overreach. And so that's what's frustrating to me. If the CDC doesn't know, I grant them grace. I know we're dealing with something new. But then we shouldn't be forcing people into holes for a year if we don't really know. I think that's
no
what's
more.
And the latest
fogging
threat of California is that now the teachers don't want to go back to school until they can get child care in LA Unified. Because somehow grocery workers still deserve.
Fire them all.
Well, they should. This is the union's problem. And you know what? Grocery workers have been going to work every single day, putting their lives
on
the line. They don't get child care. Farm workers, radio workers, people who have been going to work who have not been given child care. Why do they? And
you talk about an elitist organization.
My mom is one, but holy moly.
Well,
no
just
more
to
fumigation.
Wrap up, I was going to say, just to wrap it up. So here are the new guidelines. So the science has shown, this is CDC, that people can get infected with COVID-19 through contaminated surfaces, but the risk is extremely low. So that's one thing to know. Regular cleaning of the surfaces with soap and detergent works. They say disinfection is not necessary. So you don't have to run out with the antibacterial everything. You don't need that. Actually, as Dr. Jack Stockwell and Doug and we've all said, that's actually really bad for your immune system to have so much antibacterial stuff all around you.
Bad.
So they say disinfection is only recommended in indoor settings and schools schools and homes where someone has been confirmed to have COVID-19 within the last 24 hours. So in most cases, fumigation, spraying, things like that, none of that is recommended now as the primary method. They actually are carrying, now it says it carries safety risk. So just wear a mask consistently and proper hand washing. Those are the two things that we're sticking with, and those are the things that have been consistent from the beginning.
Right. All right. So other areas here, the apparently there's a fourth wave going on in Japan of the virus. And that is something that is, I mean, you look over in Asia, how much have we focused? The Chinese have sort of shut down discussion about what they're doing or what's gone on there. And I don't think we've paid a lot of attention. At least I haven't. But Japan made some news earlier on because they had a hot spot. And then, yeah, you know, but what's going on in Cambodia and Vietnam? And, yeah, they locked everything down. Yeah. Yep. And then back here at home, Victoria, the skepticism, I think we touched on this a little bit yesterday. People who go to church, or maybe there's a little bit more, maybe when we talk about evangelicals, so we're talking about Mormons, we're talking about Seventh-day Adventists, who are we talking about? Because
no,
evangelicals are more right.
Yeah, Mormons. Yeah. Mormons are Mormons. I don't believe they call themselves evangelicals. That's a totally different thing, a different religion. So
Baptists. Who are they?
Well, evangelicals are considered Pentecostal evangelicals. That's what they call themselves.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way I would say that's how that gets defined. But in terms of the vaccine skepticism, the white evangelical Protestants, more than any other group, are showing they're the least likely to get vaccinated, and it's becoming a real problem, especially because a lot of them are older. And so the findings from this new survey has the network of the National Association of Evangelicals has 45,000 churches in the U.S. And so there's Philip Bethencourt, who's a Southern Baptist pastor in Texas. He was part of this study, and he said he spoke with congregants who do not want the vaccine and basically say they're unafraid of dying if that's God's will. They're very much taking, you know, a hands-off approach. He said, the sentiment doesn't trouble me, but he said it's inconsistent because we don't adopt that mentality in other aspects of our lives. We don't, like, get in a car and not put a seatbelt on, and then when we maybe see something happening ahead, we snap it in. He said, you know, you get in the car, you put your seatbelt on no matter what. So they find it to be pretty troubling. They're really trying to reach people and try to figure out what the skepticism is and where it's coming from. But, you know, a lot of people from the beginning,
if they don't want to get vaccinated, then they don't get vaccinated. I guess who cares? Why is it someone's mission to push that on somebody who has that mentality?
I mean, well, I think if you're trying to save lives, then that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, it's the general public. Are these people mixing and matching in the general public, the general population?
Of course.
Or if they're all into themselves, right?
No, they're mixing it.
This
is no. These are just ordinary people who go to church on Sunday, and these are people living, you know, in communities that are they're not segregated communities. This is not like living, you know, on some Mormon ranch or whatever. You know, these are just regular people.
But you have a lot of people who have questioned the vaccine and whether or not the vaccine is a good thing, and many of them are. I mean, really, the two most skeptical groups that I can think of are minorities. Number one, because they don't trust the government because we built them not to trust the government. And that's the news media is doing, and that's political groups doing. They don't trust what the government is doling out. So that's number one. And then there are people
who
are religious.
Well, the government has a pretty heavy hand in actually mistreating minorities, too. So it's not just the news media that created that narrative.
Well, it's the narrative like that. And I don't, I mean, look, none of us have the evidence in front of us. I think we've argued about whether or not the evidence exists. I think certainly it's been puffed up because it's a popular narrative. And now we've created a culture where minorities don't trust the government to give them the vaccine. So that's number one. And number two, I think with evangelical groups, there are many people who follow their life biblically and they want to rely on their own immune system. And they say if it's God's will for them to die, if their body can't fight it off, they're not going to put the vaccine in their body. There are many people like that, and it's not just COVID that are anti-vaccine.
You know,
I don't think
one of the things that ought to be part of this conversation is the freedom to exercise your religious choices here versus what it's like in most of the rest of the world. Imagine being in China or Russia or places where they just wouldn't allow anything other than whatever the government tells you to do. And this is, these are the outfits that want to take over the world. So if we want to continue to push, we have our agenda. We have freedom on our minds. But we do a lot of things here that are not allowed in most other places in the world. And we continue to lose sight of it and pay attention to things that aren't important. That's one of the things that is important about our country. And one of the reasons that we have like hundreds of thousands of people at the border trying to get in here, because there is the bright light of freedom that shines here. And as much as we ought to be critical about what goes on in our country and do the right thing about changing the wrongs or righting the wrongs, when you consider that the chief opponent to our way of life is, would do what the Nazis basically did, and that is eliminate everybody who's not like them. When's the last time you saw a black Chinese person? When's the last time you saw, I mean, Russians are a few black Russians, but not many. I think that's the point.
Tell people why they should get the vaccine, but let people decide. And if they decide that they shouldn't or that it's not right for them.
I get all that. But the inconsistency here, though, is that these are not people who are anti-vaxxers. These are not 45,000 churches filled with anti-vaxxers. These are people who, you know, go out and get a flu shot or they, you know, have their measles and mumps and rubella and all the other vaccinations that everybody else needs to go to school. So these are not anti-vaxxers. That's what the inconsistency is. It's this COVID vaccine that has been political from day one, and that's part of the problem with this. And
I think a lot of super Christians are anti-vaxxers. Not all of them, and some of them may be.
Yeah, I think they are
but,
too.
But even if they are inconsistent, who cares? That's their right to be inconsistent. I mean, so it's not our problem. Unfortunately, we don't get to tell them they have to get injected.
On the number of children who have lost one parent because of COVID. There are some COVID orphans. That's a new term, Victoria, new phrase, COVID orphans. And there are tens of thousands of them, apparently, right? My God,
43,000 from ages 0 to 17, that we know of,
Right.
And naturally,
that probably doesn't even count the adults who lost all their loved ones in nursing homes. I mean, obviously, you're focusing on the little ones, but how many horror stories did you hear? Janice Dean is one where in New York, both of her in-laws were killed. They died within a few days of each other. So
with these children though, you know, black children make up 14% of children in the U.S., but 20% of those losing a parent to COVID are black children. So that's, you know, when we were talking all last year about this virus disproportionately affecting black and brown people, well, now here are some of the numbers, and this is the end result, 20% of these kids.
So what are we doing about it? I think that's the, we all know that blacks have been adjusted in the negative way here, no matter what the facet of life. I can talk about black farmers until I'm blue in the face. So what are we doing about fixing that? And then,
well, now we've got a bunch of kids who need help, you know, who have higher rates of suicide.
So there are a lot of white kids that need help too. Everybody, there's a lot of kids.
I'm just talking about this one issue. Let's stop, let's talk about one issue at a time. I'm talking about these 20% of 43,000 children who have lost a parent. They have higher, all of these kids are going to have higher rates of suicide and depression and PTSD. So when you're asking what to do about it, we need to make sure that whether it's part of the COVID bill or whatever it is, that we have to make sure that these children are taken care of so they don't just become, you know, tossed to the side and part of the system. This is in a young age of these kids, and this is, we're not conflating it with a million other issues about, you know, veterans and this is one specific issue.
Well, but
these 43,000 children need to be tracked and need to be helped.
One of the other things that is ancillary to this is the number of children who are hungry every day. You know, there's that problem too.
Well, missing one parent isn't going to help these kids either.
No, so under the circumstances. It's an itchy problem. There's no question about that. 10 before the hour here on the DJV program.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping.
To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
After the hour now, it's Tech Talk time on the DJV Tuesday program. Doug Steffen here with Victoria Keelan, and there's a warning coming right after this.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-1509. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-1509. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-1509. 800-555-1509.
All right, let's get to it. What are we being warned not to do, Victoria?
Well, I mean, I feel like we don't really need to say this, but yet we do. Because yeah, there are more and more stories popping up about vaccine cards. And I feel like we just need to break it down. So, obviously, tech experts have made this very clear. Do not post a picture of your vaccine card on social media. We know that you're happy that you got a vaccine. I'm happy that I got a vaccine. Post the sticker that says I got vaccinated. Post a thumbs up somewhere outside wherever the clinic is where you got the shot. Do not post the picture of your vaccine card. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, it just has my name and my birthday on it. What could someone possibly get from that? Well, there's actually a lot more than you would think. Take another look at your vaccine card. There's medically sensitive information there. It's got your vaccine lot number, the clinic location, the brand of vaccine you received, and for some people, like if you get from a mega site, which I did, I've got some actual other coding on there that I don't even know what it is. So I have a sticker that has actual code on there. So there's a lot more information than you can think of. Now, think of it this way. Identity thieves work like a puzzle. They take little bits of information here and there, and they put the whole picture together so you become person X, and you become a target. Once identity thieves have the pieces they need, they take that information. Even your name and your birth date can go a long way if you're an identity thief. They can open new accounts in your name. They can claim a tax refund for themselves. They can actually take your tax refund. And they can engage in other kinds of identity theft. With or without the medical record number, vaccine cards can also allow a hacker to conduct a phishing scheme to steal data and passwords. All they need is the lot number of the vaccine you received, which is on your card, or the location of the place where you got the shot, which is also on your card, and they'll be able to spoof the email address of the facility with a message. Basically, they can come up with something urging you to click on a link, supposedly to reschedule your second dose, and really all they're doing is stealing more information from you. So, and then other people make the argument, well, my social media accounts are private, so only my friends and family can see. Well, consider this. Security experts have long said the people most likely to commit identity theft are your friends and family. So here's the lesson, kids. Stop posting your vaccine cards. And if you have a card that's posted somewhere on social media, take it down immediately.
All right, there we have it. Next up here, it's happened one more time. A vintage copy of a video game sold for lots of money. Listen to this.
The Geek Out. Feels like we've been telling this more lately, but we again have seen a copy of a classic video game sell at auction for a stunning price. An unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers for a Nintendo's NES last week sold at auction for $660,000. The game dates back to 1985, and the story behind it was that it was bought as a Christmas present, placed in a desk drawer where it was long forgotten. This particular copy was not only just unopened, it was also still in the plastic anti-theft case, complete with its hang tag. Due to its rarity of condition, and because a similar copy was sold for $114,000 last year, the market was primed for such a massive jump in price. So, you know, go search your attic or something. We've tweeted links with this story over at The Geek Out.
Are you ready to start investing but aren't sure how? Go for the gains you deserve safely with this free special report from Wall Street trader and financial expert Jared Dillian. Claim your free copy at jaredradio.com. That's jaredradio.com.
All right, here's another cyber attack on the drinking water supply. What's the scoop?
Yep, so we know that, you know, we've heard that story down in of the water treatment plant in Oldsmar, Florida, and that it was remotely controlled and the chemical levels were changed. But it turns out it wasn't a hacker. It was just a disgruntled employee. And everyone, they've looked into this now, everyone in the water plant had access to change the levels. So it's absolutely crazy. It's a complete nightmare. It's a cybersecurity nightmare.
Issue.
So now they're going to have to change all of how they,
too much
how they
technology.
Give permissions. Yeah.
Yeah. They should have just a screw, unscrew.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.